Would you please pray with me? Loving God, we ask this morning that you might speak to us through these words of Scripture and through the words of this sermon. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Love is the supreme God. Thus says the 3rd century Hindu saint, Thirumular. Love is the sole purpose behind Allah's having created the universe. Thus says the Islamic prophet, Muhammad. Anyone can reach God if they first only immerse themselves in God's love. Thus say the gurus of the Sikh faith. All genuine love is divine. Thus say the teachings of the Baha'i faith. So it seems that we Christians are in good company when we follow 1 John 4 in declaring that God is love. Faith traditions the world over join us in connecting human love with the divine. But what makes Christianity unique, what makes us distinctive, what lends us our unique flavor, is that we append to this declaration that God is love an additional idea. When Christians declare God is love, we don't finish it with a period, we finish it with a comma, and we say, God is love, comma, love that looks like Jesus. God is love, love that looks like Jesus. Now, it might go without saying, but this single idea that God's love is somehow and in some way revealed to us through Jesus, that single idea is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. It is the hallmark of the Christian church. It is the starting point from which all Christian theology starts. Now, if you go from church to church, though, you'll find, even if you go from church to church around Medford, at least to say the world, you'll find that although this idea that God's love is revealed to us in Jesus is the starting point, you'll find that there are many different endpoints. People interpret this to mean different things. Our more liberal brothers and sisters, they understand Jesus primarily to be a prophet, to be a teacher, a philosopher. So as they look at the teachings of Jesus, his parables, the Beatitudes, they look to those teachings, and in those teachings, they see the shape of God's love. On the other end of the spectrum are our more conservative brothers and sisters. And they find God's love in Jesus expressed primarily, if not exclusively, through Jesus' death on the cross. They often sing hymns about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's because they see in Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, that's where they see God's love take its shape. And then there are those who are in the middle, and I will confess that I myself am one of the middle ground people. And there are those like me who, rather than seeing Jesus only as a teacher, and rather seeing God's love expressed only on the cross, we instead look to Jesus' whole life, the whole sweep and span of Jesus' life, to find God's love revealed for us. We look for God's love revealed in the stories that have propped up around Jesus' birth, those miraculous stories that include angels and shepherds and wise men We look for God's love revealed in the stories of his ministry, how Jesus went out and healed people, the things that he said, the things that he did. We look for God revealed even in the way he died on the cross at the hands of the Roman government, in the way he was resurrected 3 days later. But no matter where you fall on this spectrum, whether you find yourself on the more liberal end of things or on the more conservative end of things, or right in the middle like so many of us, I think it is imperatively important that we recognize where we see God's love take shape in Jesus' life. And this is important for a number of reasons. I think first and foremost, we need to understand for ourselves how this love takes shape so that we can embody this love in the world. That's first and foremost. But I think especially during an election year like ours, like this one rather, it's important to keep in mind that a lot of people will be standing up and claiming a lot of things to be representative of God's love. And it's imperative for us to be able to stand our own ground and evaluate those claims based on our own understanding of Jesus. So politicians will get up and they will raise a number of economic policies and social policies and political policies. And they will confess that all of these come from their understanding of God and Jesus and Scripture. But we need to take a step back and decide for ourselves whether or not that's true. So I'm going to lift up an example. I'm not going to step into the political realm because danger that way lies. But this is something that might have popped up on your Facebook feed in the past couple weeks. So it was a story posted on Facebook by a young father down in Tennessee, who he was at a Chick-fil-A with his 4-year-old daughter. Has anybody seen this post? Okay. So he was down, he's in Tennessee in a Chick-fil-A, and he was sitting at a table nearby the counter. And into this Chick-fil-A walks a person who is obviously homeless. He's kind of dirty, he has everything he owns on his bag, and he walks up to the counter. And the father and daughter are right next to the counter. So they hear the exchange that happens. So the homeless man goes up to the cashier and asks to speak to the manager. A few minutes pass, and the manager comes out, and the manager talks to the homeless person, and the homeless person says this. He says, "You know, I have no money to offer you, but I'm hungry, and I was just wondering if I could have something to eat." The manager replies, "If you let me pray for you, I'll give you something to eat." So the man obliges, and the manager puts his hands on the homeless person and says a prayer over him, and then, and only then, does he give the person something to eat. So this story, alongside of a picture of the manager praying over this homeless person, were posted, and 500,000 likes later, 125,000 shares later, the people of Facebook have decided that this was a good and holy and righteous Christian act. And yet, I personally have this just kind of nasty feeling down in my heart, because there's something that just doesn't seem right to me about what happened in that situation. And so for me, one of those people who treads the middle ground and who looks to Jesus' life and ministry and teaching to inform my understanding of God's love, I look to the stories in Scripture about Jesus and how Jesus interacted with hungry people and how Jesus interacted with people who were hurting. And I think about the story in Mark 5, if you guys remember, the woman who had been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. And Jesus is walking by the road, and all she needs to do, she reaches out and she grabs his robe. And just by reaching out like she did and touching him, she was healed. No stipulations were put in place for her to receive that healing whatsoever. I think about the story in Mark 10 about blind Bartimaeus, a blind beggar who, as Jesus is walking by on the road, he calls out to Jesus, and all his friends are being like, "Bartimaeus, be quiet, you're making a fool of yourself, you're embarrassing, he has no time for you." But Jesus calls Bartimaeus over and just asked him what was wrong. Bartimaeus said, "I wish to receive my sight," and Jesus made it so. I can't help also to think of the story in Matthew 10 of when Jesus sees a crowd of hungry people before him, and rather than praying over them or forcing them to pray, he just multiplies fishes and loaves so that no one had to go home hungry. And then I think also of Jesus' explicit teaching in Matthew 6, where he says, "Don't be like the hypocrites who pray in public, for truly I tell you, they have already received their reward." So for me, when I think about this ministry of Jesus, and then I think about this story, I can't help but think that what happened in that Chick-fil-A had less to do with God's love than it did to do with that person's sense of piousness and wanting to appear religious. I think it had very little to do with the love of God as I understand it. Now, whether you agree with my assessment or whether you disagree with my assessment, it does not matter. But what I want you to do is think about why. Why is it that you agree? Or why is it that you disagree? God is love. Love that looks like Jesus. What does that look like to you?